Thanks, Stuart, for that warm welcome. It's certainly warm up here, so if you'll excuse me if I take my jacket off tonight. What I want to do is, I thought, you know, the week we're about to enter into is a week where I guess many people will be expressing love from the point of view of giving of cards and of giving of gifts. And I thought, well, you know, what I want to do with you tonight is I want to look at a different type of love. I want to look at the love of God. And I want to, when I look at the love of God, tell you what God has given you as a gift because he loves you. You know, today I was over at Shalom back in Drecon, and I was telling them about Valentine's Day, about the history of Valentine's Day. I had no idea about the history, so I went onto the internet at work just to find out. And what they say was, this is what it says about Valentine's Day. It says, back in 230 AD, there was a priest by the name of Valentine, and he lived in the days of a guy called Claudius II, who was the emperor of Rome. And Claudius decided that he didn't want the men to marry. He felt that young men should not marry, for they made better soldiers. And therefore he made a decree that no young man in love was to marry. This priest by the name of Valentine decided that he was opposed to that. If people were in love, he felt they should be married. So he went about and he married people who were in love. Of course, this gentleman, Claudius II, found out, and he had this man, Valentine, imprisoned. While he was in prison, this man fell in love, seemingly, with the jailer's daughter. And as he was about to be executed, he passed the letter on to her, and it was signed down the bottom, "Yours, Valentine." Later on, he was given a sainthood, and he's now known as Saint Valentine. And so that is, as far as I'm aware, the history of where we get Valentine's Day. But tonight, what I want to do with the help of God is to look at the love of God, the love of God, which is far superior, and what God has given as a gift of that love. So if you have a Bible, we're going to read one verse. It's only one verse. If you don't have a Bible, don't be too concerned. It's very easy to remember. It's found in Romans chapter number 6, and it's verse number 23. And in this little verse, it tells us about the gift of God. And it says this, it says, "For the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let me repeat that. "For the wages of sin is death, but," and here's the but "the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And we do look to God tonight just to bless the reading of his word. As I say, this week, I suppose there will be many different gifts that we'll be giving. Perhaps some individuals might be given flowers. I don't know if there's any ladies in the hall who might be getting flowers, perhaps so. Some might even be getting chocolates. Some might even be getting jewellery. But what I want to do with the help of God tonight is to look at a different gift. And to help us understand what this gift is, I want to break down the word gift into its letters, G, I, F, and T. And from that word gift, I want to bring to you the gift that God wants you to have. Now let me just tell you, first of all, that gift that he wants every one of us to have is the gift of everlasting life. That's what he wants us all to have. I just want to say that at the outset. And the reason I want to say that at the outset is this. I want to ask you as an individual in the hall tonight, have you received that gift? Have you in your life received the gift of God, which is everlasting life? You ask the question back to me and you say, "William, have you then?" You're asking me, "Have you ever received this gift of everlasting life?" And I would say to you, yes, I have. I was no different from anybody else in this hall tonight. I was a boy brought up in Drecon. And yet at the age of 9, I understood that I was a sinner. I understood that Christ loved me for who I was. I was a sinner, and yet Christ loved me. I understood that at Calvary, he died for me out of love. And he purchased this thing called everlasting life with his blood. And he offers it to me, or he offered it to me as a free gift. A free gift. He didn't ask me anything, didn't ask me to do anything for it, to become anything for it. But as a free gift, he offered it to me. And as a boy of 9, I simply took God at his word and accepted this gift of everlasting life. And because I accepted that gift, I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm bound for heaven. And I'm not boasting, because I have nothing to boast in. But I'm also here to tell you that you too can receive this gift of everlasting life as I did. And you too can be ready for heaven whenever you receive this gift. And that's why I asked at the beginning, have you received this gift of everlasting life? And if perhaps at this point in the hall, you're sitting there and you're saying, nope, I can't ever remember a date or an occasion or a circumstance when I've ever received this gift, well, I want to tell you this. You could be many places tonight, but I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here because just by the help of God, I want to simply bring to you God's gift of everlasting life through faith in His Son. As I say, I want to go down the letters G, I, F, and T, and I hope if I do a wee quiz at the end, you'll all know what the letters mean. I won't, but I just want to make the point. The letter G is this. I want to explain to you that it's God's gift. That's the best thing about this gift. It's not my gift. It's not the gift from the people who meet in this little hall here, but it's the gift of God. It's God's gift. And then when we look at the letter I, that's who it's for. It's for I. It's for you. And that letter I tells me this, that it's an individual gift. It's for you, whoever you are, whatever your name. I want to tell you this. God's gift is for you tonight. It's an individual gift. It's for I. It's for you. And then when we look at this letter F, which is the third letter, we'll notice this, that whilst there is a cost with gifts, there is also the aspect that it's free to the receiver. And tonight, as you sit in the hall, God is not asking you to pay something for this gift. He's simply asking you to take it as a free gift. You could read that verse, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And then lastly, when we look at the letter T, to get a gift, what do you need to do? And lastly, you just need to take it. And that's what we'll discover, that God of heaven tonight wants you to receive this gift, and all He's asking you to do is to take it. G, I, F, and T. Now, I wonder, what's the difference between a gift and a present? I wonder if we know the difference. I tell you what I think the difference is. I think a present is something that we expect. A present is something that we sometimes think we deserve. I'll give you an illustration, perhaps a birthday. You know, it's like these young men reach a certain age and, you know, you turn 10 or you turn 11 and you think, right, it's my birthday tomorrow, so I'm expecting to get something. And so a present, I think, is something you're expecting and something you think to a certain degree you deserve. The gift is the opposite. I think a gift is something that is unexpected and undeserved. I wish I'd brought some sweets. I do, because I could have just taken one out and thrown it to the wee man in the front, and I'm sorry I don't have any, but that would be like a gift. You've not done anything for it. You weren't expecting it, but I just gave it to you. And that's what I think the difference between a present and a gift is. And what God is offering you tonight is a gift, something that's perhaps unexpected and undeserved. Perhaps you didn't expect to hear this message tonight. Perhaps you didn't expect to know that, well, God had a gift for you and it was a gift of everlasting life. Well, that's good, because you now know. And so the first letter is this. It's the letter G. And we're going to understand that this gift that God is offering us, whilst we don't deserve it, whilst we don't expect it, it's the gift of God. Now, I suppose whenever you receive the gift, what makes a gift special to you? Now, you think of a gift perhaps you've received, perhaps yesterday or the week before, or perhaps it's a wee while longer, and you think about that gift and think about how it made you feel. Why did it make you feel that way? I want to suggest to you that there are perhaps two reasons as to why you felt that way. Perhaps, first of all, is because of who the giver was. Perhaps the person who gave you it made you feel special. And in making you feel special, you were thankful for the gift. The other reason why it might be so special is, well, perhaps it might be what the gift was. Perhaps you've been wanting this gift, and perhaps you've been needing this gift, and, well, you were just dying for this gift, and someone gave you the gift, and perhaps it was what the gift was, and because of what it was, that's why it was so special to you. Well, this gift that God is offering us, let me just first of all tell you this, that it's not the preacher who's standing on this little raised platform who's offering it to you, and it's not the good people who perhaps meet in this hall and worship the Lord Jesus who are offering it to you, and it's not the government, that's offering it either. But the person who is offering us this gift tonight that we're going to talk about is no one less than the God Himself. You know, there's a man in the Bible, and he said this when he almost, I suppose, couldn't put into words the beauty and the wonder of the gift of God. And he says this, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And you see, friend, tonight, the gift that God is offering you, he's offering it to you. You ask the question, why would he offer me a gift in the first place? You know, perhaps some of us think, you know, well, personally speaking here, I'm not the best of people. You know, I don't go out of my way perhaps to help other folk. I'm nothing special in myself. So why would God of heaven want to give me this gift of everlasting life? And the simple answer is this, just because he loves you. You know, sometimes our love is conditional. Now, what I mean by that is this, I love my wife because my wife loves me. Sometimes our love is a conditional love. The love of God is not a conditional love. He loves us despite of what we are, despite of what we say, despite of perhaps what we do. That is the beauty, the wonder of the love of God tonight. No matter how I feel about myself, no matter how I feel about other people, God still loves me. You know, the Bible tells us that God commendeth, God showed or displayed his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, we sometimes sing that wee song back home in Drecon. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but you know what's the dearest? This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I hope every one of us tonight go out of this place knowing that God loves us. You know, I might not get a Valentine on Wednesday. You might not get a Valentine on Wednesday. That doesn't mean to say that we're not loved, because the Bible makes it absolutely clear, for God so loved the world. And God loves every one of us. And so this gift that God is offering us tonight, he offers it to us just because he loves us. But you know, I mentioned to you that a gift was something that was unexpected and undeserved. And you say to me tonight, well, why is this gift undeserved? I mean, why don't I deserve this gift of everlasting life? Why don't I? And the simple answer is this, because every one of us, and I'm no different, we've all offended God in one way or another. Every one of us. I'm not up here pointing fingers at you, and you're not down there pointing fingers at me. But when we turn to the Word of God makes it very clear. In fact, it makes it so simple. It says this, for all have sinned. For all have come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, the Bible says, were born in sin and were shaped in iniquity. You know, we've got two wee ones back home in Drecon. And, you know, from they've been small, we've tried to teach them what is right. We've tried to teach them how to be polite. We've tried to teach them how to tell the truth. You know, one thing that we've never had to do, and I'm sure Stuart's the exact same as this, we've never had to teach children how to lie. We've never had to teach them how to be crafty or deceitful or be, you know, all these kind of things. You know why? And I'm the exact same. Because there's something in every one of our hearts that's called sin. And those sort of things, the lying, the stealing, the cheating, being covetous, being proud, these are all sin. And they mark me. And I guess if you're honest tonight and you look into your own heart as well, every one of us are no different. From the front to the back, left to right, we're no different. For all have sinned. And you see, there's a consequence to us being sinners. The Bible says that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So that's a consequence of sin, the fact that we all die. Well, there's another consequence of sin, and it's this. The Bible tells us that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The judgment. And you see, what kind of judgment is this judgment? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says about this judgment. Those who are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in other words, those who hadn't accepted this gift that we are talking about tonight, they were cast into hell and the lake of fire. That is the consequence, people, tonight, of not accepting this free gift of God. Hell. Separation from God. Never ever being found in God's heaven. That's the consequences of being a sinner who doesn't accept this gift. But you know, we're here to tell you tonight, that verse goes on to say, but the gift of God. If we were just to come here and say, you know, well, the wages of sin is death and leave it at that, it would be a sad meeting. But the verse goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life. And the gift that God is wanting you to have is everlasting life. Do I need it, you say? Do I need everlasting life? If you want to be in heaven, you need this gift. I trust everyone in the hall tonight wants to be in heaven. But to be in heaven, we need this everlasting life. We need this gift of God. And we find out that it's through the person of the Lord Jesus. And so the first letter was the letter G, from the word gift. And it reminds us it's a gift from God. And why does God want me to have this gift of everlasting life to be found in his heaven? Because he loves us. And yet we don't deserve it. And yet still, God loves us. And then we go into the second letter. And if I was to ask the young man, they would tell me it's the letter I. Because G, I, F, and T. So the second letter is the letter I. And this letter tells me that this gift that God is offering me, it's for I. It's an individual gift. It's for you. You know, we sometimes say that little verse, and it's John 3:16, and perhaps everyone in this hall knows it. If you don't, listen to these words. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And see, when we come to that word, whosoever, that means you. And so when we come to that word, whosoever, you put your name in there and I'll put my name in there. And it says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if William Gaw, if the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And see, when we come to that word, whosoever, that means you. And so when we come to that word, whosoever, you put your name in there and I'll put my name in there. And it says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if William Gaw puts his trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus, then William Gaw should not perish, but William Gaw will have everlasting life. You see, this gift that God is offering us is an individual gift. It doesn't matter the life you've lived. It doesn't matter what your occupation is. It doesn't matter how much money you've got in the bank. It doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't matter the language that you speak, the country that you live in. This gift that God is offering us tonight is for the people of Cumnock. It's for the people of Drecon. It's for the people who are in the wee hall back home in Drecon where I go on a Sunday night. And it's for the people in the gospel hall here in New Cumnock. And it's for the people in the row that you're sitting. And it's for the person beside you, to your left and to the right. But you know this, it's actually for you first and foremost. That's who this gift is for. You know, sometimes it just takes us to think that, you know, if we were the only person in this hall tonight, if we were the only person in this world tonight, well, we would be no different. This is an individual gift for you. And if you were the only person, well, the Lord Jesus would still have come and still have died at the place called Calvary, that you might be in heaven at the end of life's journey. You know, this is an individual gift. And you say, well, you know, maybe I should have accepted this gift when I was younger. You know, maybe I'm a bit older now, and well, maybe I'm beyond it. I'm too old to receive this gift you're talking about. Or perhaps the younger ones in the hall, and they're saying, well, you know, I'm too young yet to receive this gift. I'll wait till I'm older. I'll wait till I'm married, or I'll wait till I've got a job. You know, some people have different reasons as to why they don't believe this gift is for them. But I want to tell you that you're never too young to receive this gift, and you're never too old to receive this gift. In fact, I want to tell you, you're just perfect the way you are to receive this gift. Just as you are, just where you are, just what age you are, what you're doing in your life. This is a gift that's just for you. It's an individual gift. In fact, the Lord Jesus says, he says, come. And you know, that word is so simple. Back home in Drecon, we've got a Douglas and Mandy, and they've got a wee girl called Lucy. And Lucy's just beginning to walk now. And you'll see Douglas and you'll see Mandy, and they'll just stand there and they'll just say to her, come. You know, and she's not going to go, no, I'm going to wait till I'm a bit stronger and then I'll come, Dad. And she's not going to say, you know, I'm going to get into my good gear first of all, Dad, my good, you know, dress, and then I'll come. She just comes as she is. You know, Douglas or Mandy says, come, and you'll see her. She'll just stagger as she is. Maybe feeble, maybe weak, maybe a wee bit stronger. She'll just come as she is. And tonight, you know, just as we are, we can come to God and we can receive this gift of everlasting life. I wonder tonight if you'll come and just take this gift of everlasting life. You know, then we come on to the third letter, and I'm going to, you know, be too much longer, but it's the letter F. We've got G, it's the gift of God. I, it's an individual gift. But when we come to this letter F, it tells me this, that the gift that God is offering us tonight is a free gift. We could read it and it says, the free gift of God is everlasting life through Jesus Christ. Now, say for example, on this Valentine's Day, you do get a gift, whatever type of gift it might be, an expensive gift or an inexpensive gift, it matters not. It could even be something that's homemade. Sometimes they're the best things from your children. But I want to tell you this, that when you receive that gift, no matter what it is, to you, it is absolutely free. And I'm sure you, and I hope we appreciate that, it's a free gift. But to the wee boy or the wee girl, or to the man or the woman, or the husband or the wife who's giving that gift, there generally has been a cost. Now, it might be a cost in terms of a financial cost when they've had to put their hand into their pocket and give money over the counter. Or it might be a type of cost in terms of, you know, just a child, you know, taking the time and taking the effort, maybe on the PC or the colouring in crayons or whatever it is, to take the time to sit down and to colour it out and to make a card and to put it in an envelope and to send it to you. It doesn't matter. There is always and ever a cost. And when we come to this gift of everlasting life, there also has been a cost. But you know, when we think of this gift, we need to ask the question, well, who has paid for it? Who's paid for it? And Peter says this, he says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And in that little verse, it tells us who has paid for this gift. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when he was born, he was given the name Jesus. It's funny, we were just talking when I came in there, you know, I was given the name William. And it was after my late grandfather, William Wilson Gaw. And some people were just saying, you know, he was a man who, he was well known back where I come from, and I guess up here as well. And I was named after him, hence the reason why I'm called William. But you know, the Lord Jesus was given a special name, and his name was Jesus. And the meaning of that name is this, he shall save his people from their sin. You know, there was only one person who can save us from our sins, and I'm not being disrespectful, but it's no priest, it's no minister, it's no rabbi. The only person who can save us, save me, save you from our sins, is the Lord Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he, and he alone, shall save. Now, the reason as to why the Lord Jesus is the only one who can save us for heaven is because he had no sin, he did no sin, and in him is no sin. He is the sinless, as the Bible says, Lamb of God. He's the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And because of that, the Lord Jesus was the only one who could pay the price for this gift of everlasting life. But you say, well, how did he pay it? If this gift is so wonderful, so precious, almost you couldn't put a monetary value on it, how did he pay for this? Was it with gold? Was it with silver? Was it with barabons? Absolutely not. The way that this gift was paid for was with a life. With a life. And no ordinary life. It was with the life of the Lord Jesus You know, the Bible says that he gave, that is the Lord Jesus, he gave his life a ransom for the many. Why? You might say, why did the Lord Jesus have to give his life in order that I might have this gift of everlasting life? Why? Because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. And we must have our sins forgiven if we ever want to be in heaven. And that's why the Lord Jesus came into the world. That's why he went to the place called Calvary. That's why he allowed his own creation to crucify him. For without the shedding of his blood, there could be no remission of sin. You know, you might get a gift this Valentine's Day. You might get a gift at Christmas. You might get a gift during the week. But it will be no gift in comparison to this gift that God is offering you. The gift of everlasting life. Why? Because it cost God everything. Everything. Let me just say that again. It cost God everything in order that I and you might have a gift that is free. Lastly, the letter T, and I'll be finished. It tells me this, that we need to take this gift. We need to take it. You know, I could stand up here all night and I could have a lovely gift in my hand and I could say to every one of you in the hall, you know, here's a gift and I want you to take it and you can have it and it's free. I'm not asking you to do anything for it. I'm just asking you to take it. And you might say, well, that's great. That's my gift. That's fine. But, you know, it's not really your gift until you take it from me. That's when you come into the good of the gift that I'm offering you, when you actually take it. And you might be saying to me, well, tonight, well, I understand that this gift is God's gift and it's an individual gift and it's free because the Lord has died at Calvary for it. But, you know, how can I take this gift? Because, you know, I want to be in heaven. I want to have my sins forgiven. I want to become a child of God and be bound for heaven. But I don't understand. How do I take this gift? How do I make it my own? What do I need to do? You know, the Bible says this. It says, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And you say to me, I know what you're saying, believe, but I just don't understand. How do I believe? I mean, what do I do? Is it something I say? Is it something I think? What is it to believe on the Lord Jesus? I'll give you an illustration. We've got two children back home in Drecon. If I brought Christopher out and I asked him to stand in one of these chairs and I stood down there and I said to Christopher, Christopher, I'll tell you what, you just jump down there, son, and I'll catch you. He would do it. Now, what's he doing when he does it? He's believing that what I'm going to do, or what I say, I will do. And if he was to jump, I would catch him. And he trusts me, because he knows that what I say, I will do. And God also is asking us to trust him, to take God at his word. Remember this, God cannot lie. And when God says, you know, put your trust in my son and you will have everlasting life, he means it. When he says, when you do that, you'll have your sins forgiven, he means it. When he says, when you put your trust in my son, your name will be found written in a Lamb's book of life, he means it. And that's why we can have total confidence to tell you tonight, when you believe in the Lord Jesus, you receive this gift of everlasting. But what happens, you know, when, if I were to receive this gift that you're talking about, well, what happens? You know, what happens? Let me tell you what the Bible says. It says, he that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life. In other words, he that hath this gift of everlasting life, you've got the Son and you're bound for heaven. Another verse says, blessed or happy are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. There's a happiness. There's a joy in coming to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. The burden of sin is removed. And there's a joy in your heart because you know, come what may in life. You know, life has its ups and downs, I know that. But come what may in life, you know, you can be bound for heaven because God loves you and the Lord Jesus died for you. You know, when do you need to take this gift in? When's the best time? You know, am I too late? You know, is it next week? When do I need to take this gift? You know, the Bible says, now. And it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is God's day of salvation. You know, in a week that's about to come when, out of love, there'll be many gifts that are going to be given, many gifts that are going to be received. I wonder if you'll just spare a moment to think about the greatest love of all, the love of God, the greatest gift of all, the gift of everlasting life through His Son. And I wonder this week, I wonder even tonight, you know, are you going to receive this gift and just ask the Lord Jesus into your heart? You know, we asked the question at the beginning, have you received the gift of everlasting life? You know, if the answer to that was no at the beginning, I trust by the end of tonight, before you put your head in the pillow, you know, that it's going to be yes. Because we're just never promised tomorrow. You know, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. And that's why the most important thing is tonight, we get right with God and we trust His Son and accept the gift of everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank Thee this evening for Thy love. We thank Thee that Thy love was revealed, manifest in the giving of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We know how much Thy Son loved us, for we remember Thy word that tells us that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And Father, help us all tonight to appreciate the love of the Lord Jesus in providing this gift of everlasting life. And help us, Father, to accept this gift, to believe in Thy Son, that we too can have the gift of everlasting life. Father, we pray now that it will take us back to our homes in safety. Watch over us. Watch over us this week in which we lie. Give us again, we pray, new and fresh desires, just to come next week, if it be Thy will, to hear more words whereby we can be saved for time and for heaven. Part us now with Thy blessing, as again we give thanks for Thy Son, in His worthy and precious name. Amen.